But now we're joined in the studio by Orange County Conservative Ashley Campbell to keep us going this hour. Ashley, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Doing all right. How's the weather treating you? How was yesterday?
Weather. Oh, not too bad. It was just kind of a mix of everything frozen thrown at Hillsborough over the course of the day. But I guess not much stuck. So fortunately, neither my husband nor I had to drive to work
That's good.
So we just hunkered down.
All right. Yeah. So yesterday evening, pretty much everything was canceled or called off or postponed or delayed. The one thing that actually went on pretty much as scheduled was the Hillsborough Town Board meeting, where they had a couple of items on the agenda. But one of the big ones that we've been following for the last couple of months now, Brian Lowen stepping down as member of the Hillsborough Board of Commissioners. He's been on the board for close to 20 years, but he's stepping down at the end of the month, and the board appointed Matt Hughes to take over from him. We'll be speaking with Matt Hughes on Thursday. I think we'll hear from him then, but you get first crack at it as a Hillsborough resident.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, first let me say I'll miss Brian, because he was just always seemed like, you know, I don't think we necessarily saw everything politically eye to eye, but he just seemed like a really decent guy. Mm-hmm. And I got to work with him for a little time because he was the town board representative on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, which I'm on. And he gave us all the updates on the town board going on there and reported our things back to the town board. So that was really good to get to know him in that capacity. So I'll definitely miss him. But I understand, he's been on there for a while. So probably, you know, he's probably had his run of it and maybe just wants to take a break, understandably. Right. So after he announced that, the town board could either decide to hold an election or appoint a new member. And since the cost would have been more to hold the election, I think those their primary reason for going with the appointment route, and accepted applications from members of the community, Hillsborough residents. And ultimately, I think six people applied initially, but one dropped out, and then the five remaining applicants went through an interview process and public comment and that sort of thing. And then last night, they appointed Matt Hughes. And so, you know, I'm not surprised, just to put it as bluntly as possible, because Matt Hughes has been trying to start his political career locally, you know, by running for county commissioner. I think he lost to Mark Markopoulos, if I remember correctly.
Yes, ran for county commissioner,
That's right. Yep. Yeah, thank you. And so he has definitely political aspirations. I'm not surprised to see that he got appointed. He has, you know, all the right, you know, he's on a lot of boards, advisory committees, been active in the Democrat Party. He was the chair for the county Democrat Party for a while, and now holds an office at the state level. I not to sound like so sour grapes, but
should preface this by saying you're a Republican, he's a Democrat. But I think they were all, weren't they? I think all of the.
Well,
were they not?
I don't know any of them personally. Not really.
Okay.
I think probably the field was more left-leaning than not, you know, if I had to generalize. So it probably goes without saying that I don't politically agree with Matt Hughes on a lot, particularly because I think he's contributed in his own individual way to conveying a sense that conservatives don't belong in Hillsborough or the broader Orange County community. Because when I ran for office a couple of years ago for town board for Hillsborough, you know, he made it clear through a Democrat Party press release that people with my values didn't belong in the community. And so, you know, I don't know what to say about that, except like, we know we're not welcome. You don't have to keep telling us. We get it. So I think that he's contributed to that kind of I hate the word divisiveness. I feel like it's overused, but I feel like it's appropriate in this sense, or just kind of kicking conservatives when we know we're down already. Like, we know. And so I do have a little bit of a, you know, a feeling that I just hope that as a representative for the town, that he's now able to at least communicate and understand the needs of people who don't agree with him ideologically, because, you know, 20% or so of Hillsborough's population is Republican. I don't know, or more perhaps would call themselves conservative, who are just, you know, not registered Republican, but are unaffiliated maybe, or something like that. So, you know, I hope that now that he's going to be on the town board, he's going to be open-minded.
I gotta assume that's going to be the case, the difference between, like, being a representative of a political party, regardless of what political party it is. You're serving in that role, so you're going to be, whatever it is you're saying publicly in that role is going to be from that perspective, whereas as a town board member, you kind of do have that more of an obligation, at least a moral, ethical, if not legal obligation, to be more representative of the community as a whole, especially when we're talking about like a small community, when you're really like you're face to face with everyone, right, on a regular basis.
Right. Pretty much. It is small enough to feel that way, at least for those who pay attention to the goings on in town. You know, whether it's I want this pothole filled on my street to, you know, what new development is the planning board going to approve?
Right.
How is it going to change my community, with the schools or something like that, up and down the line? I hope so. I hope you're right. I hope that, you know, he does take that seriously and can work in that capacity. So we'll see, I guess. He'll fill, 2 years?
About a year and a half.
Or a year and a half
till
Brian's term.
Yeah, next election day, or 2019 election day. One thing that I did notice, and I mean, you mentioned it with Matt sort of being the more kind of connected and more well-known of the five candidates. The one thing that really jumped out at me, not with this cycle of appointments, but with the big one from a few years ago when Ellie Kinnaird stepped down and then Valerie Fouché got appointed and then Greg Meyer to get appointed to fill her seat and that whole process. I think that was the one where there were a number of people that had applied to be appointed, and some of the people were much, much more prominent names than others. And I think it was such a big story locally with all of the shuffling around that Tom Jensen at Public Policy Polling actually did a survey of voters in the area. And as you would imagine, the people with the highest name recognition came out way on top of the poll, and the people that no one had ever heard of didn't get hardly any support at all. But then when it came to the actual appointment process, everyone was trying to convince a board of three or four people. So the likelihood of someone without that name recognition getting appointed was actually higher in the appointment process, just because you only had to sell yourself to four people as opposed to a district of several thousand, which was something that I would never have even considered, but was and ultimately turned out kind of not to be the case anyway, because the higher profile people did get appointed ultimately. But it was a much, much closer choice than had it been a special election where the people without name recognition would never have had a chance to begin with.
Definitely. I think in elections, you know, that name recognition makes all the difference in a lot of the time. So, you know, if they'd held an election, would the result have been any different? I doubt it.
Probably not.
I doubt it.
The other thing that Tom Jensen said to me really recently with regard to some of the local elections that are on the ballot for like primary for the May primary is that you've got some candidates who are higher profile than others, but we're all local people and so few people pay attention to local government that even among those sort of super high profile candidates, their name recognition is still so low that it might not actually make that big of a difference, which is another really interesting twist on this whole thing.
Well, that's true. That's true. Because you could be really well known by one segment of the community, but it just, you know, it all depends on who turns out to vote.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
It just, it's all up to that. And, you know, if you can get people in your camp, you know, enthused and motivated to first spread the word about you and evangelize before the election and then actually turn out to vote. So, yeah, it's an interesting process to watch. And it is, you know, I will say, kind of nice not to have the whole election thing go on for, you know, a whole year or something like that.
Yard signs everywhere and ads in the mail. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, a special appointment every once in a while is no, you know, threat to democracy or, you know, I'm not upset about that route necessarily. But yeah, it's, well, I think it'll be interesting to, I mean, it is nice also, I will say, because he lives in the southern part of Hillsborough, to have some representation that's not in the historic district because so much power and influence is concentrated in the historic district downtown area. And at least now we have a representative from an area that's growing a lot in, in population, that area that's more toward I-40, if you're looking at the map of Hillsborough. There's a lot of people moving there, so so that's a good thing, too.
Sort of following, and you, I think, know more about the dynamics within the Hillsborough Town Board than I do. Do you think this appointment, and whether it was Matt Hughes or somebody else, do you think it'll ultimately make a significant difference in terms of decisions that the board ultimately makes? Because he's still going to be one vote out of seven, right? Or one vote out of...
One out of five.
Five,
yeah. Because we have five town board members, and the mayor, he doesn't vote. He just runs the meetings, but, you know, is very influential in his own way. I don't think that it will make a difference necessarily. I think he's probably pretty aligned with the rest of the members of the board. I'm sure there may be an issue here and there where he could be an outlier, but I think on some of the more prominent issues, maybe like affordable housing, or just the land use policy in general, for the town as it's growing. But there's this, you know, big tension in Hillsborough, I guess, where they there's a lot of people who don't want the town to grow, and so I feel like the town board is kind of wants the town to grow, or at least increase in density, but at the same time reassure everybody, like, no, we still have small town charm, it's okay, because tourism is also so important for Hillsborough, and so they want to have the best of both worlds, I guess, and so I don't know what he'll bring to that discussion, because I feel like there's just an interesting back and forth all the time with that, because they want new development, but they don't want to jeopardize the small town feel. So, you know, maybe he'll add a different perspective there, just something out of left field. We'll see. That would be nice, I think.
Speaking with Ashley Campbell, and before we wrap up, moving on to issue number two really quick, which is the, not a Hillsborough thing, but Chapel Hill-Carrboro City Schools, the student walkout tomorrow morning, and probably another one next month, speaking out against gun violence, with a whole bunch of different specific issues and proposals and different things on the table. A walkout is just, I think, to raise awareness. But we've talked about this issue before, but what are your thoughts on the walkout in general and sort of the way that this debate has kind of taken shape in the last couple of weeks?
Right. Well, I guess we know what's going on with Chapel Hill-Carrboro schools. First of all, you know, they're definitely, they have their own website, and there's an article I just saw on chapelboro.com If people want to read the details there, it's very organized. Their walkout is. Orange County school system, I'm not as clear about. I tried to ask them through social media what was going on, and they said they'd be issuing a statement tomorrow.
Oh, good.
And I don't know.
Before or after?
What? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what they're going to say. I tried to get just a feel for their official position because, you know, there's been discussions going on about, like, if these students are walking out of class, should they be punished? Because normally students would be punished for walking out of class. And clearly that's not going to happen in Carrboro, or Chapel Hill Carrboro schools. I doubt it would in Orange County schools, but I don't know what their official position is. Interesting because I've seen a lot of comparisons to civil rights leaders like Rosa Parks or Henry David Thoreau, but all of those people in the past face consequences for their actions. You know, they were arrested for their civil disobedience.
We talked about this with the protest in Durham, too, when they,
yeah.
they pulled down
yeah,
the statue.
We
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
We did. So, you know, there's something to be said for people who are wanting to make a political statement, who are willing to pay consequences. I don't know if that's the case here. They're certainly entitled to their First Amendment rights, but, you know, those rights are not absolute, as I have been told over and over on other issues. And so, you know, there's if you're breaking the rules, I sort of feel like if there's a consequence to pay for your political statement, then it's more meaningful. And I'm also actually concerned, I don't think that this will happen, but it has crossed my mind that these students could be making themselves actually a very obvious target for some kind of crazy person who wanted to commit an act of violence. I mean, there are just a large group of people. They know where they're going to be, at what time, and they're basically defenseless. I don't expect
anything
to be...
That's pretty much any large group of people, though, isn't it?
Right. But if somebody who really wants to make a name for themselves, to be infamous, by committing an act of violence, I mean, they're looking for numbers, and then just the situation where they're protesting gun violence. It's, you know, that would take a really sick person. Hopefully nothing will happen here or anywhere across the nation as students are taking part in these walkouts. But, you know, and a lot of people have also said that it's a good civics lesson. You know, that could be true. I think that instead of disrupting the mission of the schools, the educational mission of the schools, that they could take time, the students, and could take time to write the representatives about the issue, or you know, take time to learn more about the different voices in the gun debate, but. You know, so I think that there are alternative ways to address the issue that, you know, they are entitled to their opinions about. But, you know, I do also wonder, you know, if there are students at the Chapel Hill Carrboro schools who don't want to participate in this, I mean, what will they do? Like,
stay inside and wait, I guess.
Stay in class. I mean,
it's the critical mass issue. We got to wrap up here in a second, but it's the critical mass issue too, with respect to discipline. Like, if one student walks out, that's something that someone might face a suspension for. If literally everyone does it, then there comes a point when.
Yeah. Right. So,
and the same thing with the teacher strike in West Virginia, right? If one teacher walks out, then they get fired. If everyone does it, then that might actually make a difference. And that's a civics lesson just in and of itself, like success in numbers as opposed to like individual action.
Right. So if you are committing an act of civil disobedience in mass, then you may not have consequences.
I think so.
That's our... our moral lesson. To
I'm
take
teaching.
Away.
I'm
reality,
teaching American
that's
government.
True.
Yeah, I'm teaching American government. We're getting into the participation section, and I'm like in my head formulating the lecture for tomorrow, kind of based on this conversation right now, because I think that's correct. For better or worse, but I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's wrong either.
You may not think it's right, but it's also not wrong.
Right. I know what you're saying. That is the reality of the situation. Although I would come down on the side of thinking that whatever the school policy is for walking out on class should be enforced fairly, no matter what cause they're walking out for. I also disagree with school districts. I've seen there's just a few across the country that are handing out special punishments walking out. That's not fair either. Because whatever it is, they need to be consistent. If consequences like suspension are being threatened, yes, students do have First Amendment rights, but they don't have a right not to be suspended for breaking the rules of their school.
We got to wrap up. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Aaron.